everyone. Welcome back to another edition of the GregBurt.com podcast. If you aren't subscribed to this podcast already, make sure you go to iTunes Store and do a search for Greg Burt. And there you can subscribe to this podcast, and you'll hear my wonderful voice every week or so. And believe me, it's good stuff, so you'll want to subscribe if you haven't. So go and do that. Well, after you listen to this podcast, go and do that. And you'll be happy, I promise. So a couple of days ago, I was trying to think of how to start off the next podcast. And I wasn't really coming up with anything, but I was watching this Red Hot Chili Peppers DVD that I have. It has all their videos on it. And I saw the video for Give It Away, and it reminded me of when I was a freshman in high school. Now, my freshman year, I went to a Catholic high school, not because my family's religious, but my parents were under the impression that the Catholic high school was better than the public high school, and it turns out it really wasn't. I mean, it wasn't worse, but it wasn't better, and there was really no need to spend a couple $1,000s a year to send me there. So I'm getting off track, but the point is, I was watching this Red Hot Chili Peppers video, and I remembered when I was in the religion class my freshman year, and one of our assignments was to find music videos that were bad, or sent a bad message, and to find music videos that sent a good message. And I remember Give It Away being one of the bad videos, because the guys in the Chili Peppers were wearing the devil horns, and, well, you can probably find the video on YouTube if you don't remember it. But anyway, it was amazing that all the, like, cool videos from the cool bands were, quote, bad, and I don't think anyone found any good videos. And maybe that's what the point of the assignment was, or the intent from the teacher, is to show us that none of the videos that we liked and none of the music we liked was really good influence on us. But that really contradicts what rock and roll is supposed to be. Rock and roll is supposed to be a little dirty and a little impure and somewhat debaucherous. That's what makes it fun to listen to and to follow the bands and just be around it. But some of the religious people want to tell us that stuff is bad and that it's a bad influence on us and it's ruining society. But check this out as far as religion goes. In Cincinnati, a man was set free. Well, not set free. He actually had been arrested for trying to use a stolen credit card. And instead of the judge issuing an amount for bail, he let this guy go because he was able to recite some verse from the Bible. And I guess his defense attorney was saying that this is a very religious man and trying to use that as a way to say this guy isn't really a bad guy, and for that reason that there should be no bail amount. So the judge asked him to recite some verse from the Bible, and he did. So the judge said, "All right, you can go without posting bail." And I guess because this guy has memorized some of the Bible, that must mean he's more reliable than the rest of the criminals who tried to use stolen credit cards. And I guess that's not really a beef with religion. It's more of a problem I have with that particular judge. It just has so happens that I was talking about religion, and this was something I found. And I've been thinking about religion a lot recently because my grandmother died a couple months ago, and I've been to, well, I went to the Mass for her funeral, and then her New York relatives had a memorial, and there was a Mass for that. And I was thinking a lot about how ridiculous the Catholic religion sounds if you look at it kind of objectively. I mean, imagine telling some Catholic that you were going to go to some ceremony where you ate the skin and drank the blood of whoever you were worshiping. Well, that's what happens at Catholic Masses. You eat the body of Christ for communion, and then the priest generally drinks the blood of Christ. That sounds a little creepy to me, but I think I've spent enough time in religion now, and I certainly have spent enough time to piss some people off about it, and that's just the way things go sometimes. But let me move on and start talking about men's softball. Men's slow-pitch softball. And this is the third year I've been playing with the same team. The first year I was playing, actually, I don't remember our team name that year. I don't remember our main sponsor's name. It was some construction company. But last year and this year, our team name has been McDuff the Artist. And that's a fictional character based on a friend of ours, if you're not in the group and you don't know about it. And I should mention that McDuff the person is a father as of a couple days ago. So that's cool stuff, and congratulations to him and his lady. But I'm not here to talk about babies. I'm here to talk about men's slow-pitch softball, We actually started our season on Monday night with a win, which is good stuff. We have a couple games tomorrow night, but I'm not so sure if that's going to happen because there's some rain in the forecast. But what better way to spend your summer nights than coming out to watch McDuff the Artist's softball team play in the East Providence Softball League? And actually, you can find out who all the other teams are that we'll be annihilating this year if you go to leaguedomain.com/East Providence. And I'll put a link up for that on my website when I post this this podcast. So by the time you're listening to this, there will be a link on my website that you can find very easily to get to that website, and so you can be a follower of the McDuff the Artist softball team. I'm going to move up to a little manlier sport now, baseball, professional baseball, Major League Baseball. There was a little bit of a controversy started last night during the Baltimore Orioles-Boston Red Sox game. Apparently, the TV announcer for the Baltimore Orioles said that he had heard from Doug Mirabelli that when Curt Schilling was pitching in the 2004 World Series, that the blood that was on his sock, and if you don't remember this or if you're not familiar with it, there was blood on his sock because there was some sort of tendon problem in his ankle, and he had had some surgery a few days prior to that, and, well, as far as I'm concerned, it was bleeding onto his sock. And if you watch that World Series, they showed so many close-ups of his bloody sock. It was kind of gross. But anyway, this announcer, Gary Thorne, said he had inside information that that was just ink or paint or something on there. And there was a whole big to-do about it in the Boston papers today. And it actually even made, I think it was the Associated Press headlines in sports. But the end result is that this announcer, Gary Thorne, ended up kind of retracting his statement and said he basically misunderstood sarcasm for truth. So apparently he was wrong, and if you want to go check out this sock for yourself, it's actually on display at the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Now, I was thinking about this and wondering, if blood sits around for that long, does it start to grow mold, or do bugs get attracted to it or something? I'm wondering how long they can keep this bloody sock there. It's not really something I want to go see, but if you're really interested, go check it out and tell me how what it's like. And now that we're thinking about baseball, let's talk about Balco, which of course is the, what is it called, the Bay Area Lab Cooperative, something like that. But it was the place that supplied steroids to a lot of the baseball players, including Barry Bonds. And of course, the guy who owned that place was in jail for a little while, but he's back. And it's another supplement company that he owned, I think, he had started it 20 years ago, something like that. I don't know. My facts aren't all checked. But I read the story today, and basically this guy is back in business, but now he's doing legal supplements. So, good for him. But the bigger point I'm going to make here is about the whole steroid scandal in baseball, and how I have a problem with people saying that the players who used steroids years ago were cheating. As far as I'm concerned, cheating means that you're breaking some rule. Now, Major League Baseball did not have a rule against using steroids. So, if you're not breaking a rule of the game, how is that cheating? I think it was immoral to use steroids, but there's never been any rules against immorality in sports, and there never will be. And of course, a couple of years ago, Major League Baseball put in the rule against it. So, like I said, if people are using steroids now in baseball, yes, they're cheating. But if they used it prior to that rule, then how can you say they're cheating? I think it's just an easy argument for people to make, but if you use that logic, then you have to say a lot of things in sports are cheating. And think about in football, back in the olden days of football, before I was born, the goalposts are on the goal line. Now the goalposts are at the back of the end zone, so it's an extra 10 yards. But nobody accuses those kickers in the era of the goalpost being on the goal line of cheating because they were kicking field goals that were 10 yards shorter. It's just a weird thing. I guess because it's a moral issue, I guess. But hey, American society, for the most part, likes to try to put blame on somebody. And the steroid thing is just another way to find somebody to blame. So, that's just the way it is, people. So now I'm going to get off my soapbox, and instead I'm going to talk about myself a little bit. Well, I'm going to talk about a photo project that I've started to go ahead with. And it's kind of cool from my point of view because I have been a fan of old photos of towns and cities for quite some time. And I have a couple books. I have a book of photos from New York City in the 1930s and 1940s, I think. Well, anyway, it's from around that time. And I also have a book of old photos from the town I live in now, Wrentham, Massachusetts. These photos in this book are from the late 1800s and early 1900s. Well, actually, the newest photos are from the 1950s, but that's still pretty old to me, and pretty old to everybody who's listening right now. But anyway, the idea I have for this photo project is going around to the places where the photos in this book are from, and taking pictures of present-day Wrentham. At some point, I'd like to have a photo show or just a display somewhere where I could put the pictures that I took side by side with the old pictures, because some of the same buildings are still there, and in some cases, those buildings don't exist anymore, and it's really kind of interesting to look at old pictures next to new pictures when it's from the same exact location. And I actually just did a MySpace blog yesterday or the day before where I have a picture of the center of Wrentham, and I put it next to a picture of the center of Wrentham from the late 1800s. And it's quite a difference because in my picture there are, of course, cars and telephone poles and electric wires. And in the old picture, there's a horse-drawn buggy and, of course, no telephone poles. But the church in the center of town looks very much the same as it did over 100 years ago. And I'm looking forward to getting the whole town done, or at least the whole town in reference to this book, which, if you're looking for old pictures of your hometown, this series of books is called Images of America. And I know, at least in the Massachusetts, Rhode Island area, there are a lot of towns covered by this book series. So you might want to go check it out if you're into old photos. And like I said, the name of it is Images of America, and I know I've seen them on Amazon.com. Of course, I probably shouldn't say Amazon.com, because they're giving me absolute squat to advertise for them. So it's just free advertising right now, but that's okay, because maybe someday you'll buy a Greg Bird photography book on Amazon.com, and this whole free advertising thing will be worth it. And this, my friends, brings an end to this edition of the GregBird.com podcast. Of course, as always, thank you for listening. Go subscribe to this on iTunes, do a search for Greg Burt in the iTunes store, and you will find me and be able to subscribe to this. And go to gregburt.com to look at my photos, to read my blog, and of course, to buy some photos. There are matted and framed photos for sale on the website, and I'd really appreciate it if you bought some of those. You'll have something good to hang on your wall, I'll have some money in my pocket, and we'll all be happy. That's it. I hope you had fun, because I did, and I will see you next time.